The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond. Beyond.
Welcome back to Podcast Beyond. I don't know what episode this is. 457, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. All right.
Hello, everybody. I'm Max Scoville. Joining me is Alana Pierce.
Greets.
Callie Plaguey.
Hello.
And Miranda Sanchez.
Hello.
And
Miranda, is this your debut?
Have you? No, we've both been on.
You've both been on before. Okay, the show is very old.
This is the first time that it's been entirely ladies. As you can see, if you're watching this video, I have grown long hair, as women are prone to do. Though they can also have short hair, as I've learned from the internet.
There you go.
And going outside, where some of they have their hair when they walk around.
I want
to put on a wig. I don't want to do that. It's really awful.
No, I think you look really nice.
I used to have long hair like this.
Yeah, you kind of did.
This is a PlayStation podcast, I think. It's actually a really huge week for PlayStation stuff.
Yeah, it kind of is.
We've been talking about how there's been a slim Neo PlayStation on the way, and a bunch of photos leaked of it.
Wait, didn't somebody buy it?
Somebody was selling it on an auction site?
Yes.
Not eBay? Some, like, weird, like...
It was like a Gumtree kind of site.
The other.
Figgy Plums.
Site. Yeah. Not eBay. My favorite website.
Yeah.
My favorite reseller, noteBay.com. So somebody sold it, and a guy bought it. Nobody believed him. Someone in Europe, because I know Eurogamer were kind of the ones who broke the story. Okay. And then they, like, went to the dude's house to check it. I don't know how this happened.
Wow.
There was a video of it booting up, but that's been since taken down. This is so fascinating because, like, I mean, there are pictures of it. We got duped by that fake Nintendo NX, which was
right.
Somebody went to the trouble of 3D printing it and then making it look like it was a real thing, which was impressive. I honestly, looking at this kind of out of the box, was like, this could totally be fake, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it seems like it's legit, I guess. People are taking it seriously.
It doesn't really make any sense. It looks very similar to the PS4, just slightly more rounded. The USB ports are weirdly separated on the front.
Yeah.
It's more matte.
That's actually great, though, because you're not going to get as much dust on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of pictures of people posting, like, burnt toast and being like, it's a PS4 Slim. Or, like, Keebler cookies.
Okay.
Memes were my favorite part of this.
A lot of memes.
This
I respect that. Memes are my favorite parts of most things.
It's very good.
People notice that there's
like
no optical port, I guess some people use that for stuff. I think Astro headphones use that.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't affect me.
There's...
I just don't understand this.
So that's the thing, is we don't actually know if this is just a Slim or possibly a Neo or whatever it is.
That's a good point. What if it's
We've
a
got, exactly, yeah. Wow. I mean, there's nothing to indicate that. I do think it's kind of odd that they would have a 500 gig hard drive in a Neo.
Yeah.
If it's designed for 4K stuff and big, new, exciting things, it seems kind of small for that. So, I mean, it's slightly smaller. I think it's...
Barely.
Yeah.
It's
probably...
nice and small. I mean,
Exactly.
It needs to be...
Yeah. I don't think anyone is asking for it to be smaller. It's like, yeah, this is a great size. I'm totally happy with this.
Yeah. But yeah, so Sony's got their big event on September 7th. I think there's a pretty good chance that it's going to sort of echo what Microsoft did. Mm-hmm. We're kind of taking bets on whether or not we're going to see a Neo this year, but... Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think for people who we haven't discussed it with before? Do you think Neo will come out this year or not?
No, I don't think this year. I think they would take time to reveal it and then, you know, show off what it can do
yep.
and why they want a new thing.
Yeah.
Give their, them trying to justify it.
Yeah.
And then release it.
And part of my idea was that it would be so expensive to release that alongside PSVR.
Yeah.
Trying to market those two expensive new products at once seems crazy to me. So I feel like it'll be next year.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. So this event is taking place September 7th in New York City.
New York City.
In the PlayStation Theater that is apparently a thing. It's not what they call that.
The city that goes to sleep.
Yes, that's definitely what they call it. Yeah.
Emerald City.
That's a Pokemon reference?
Isn't that...
No, that's a
Wizard of Oz reference. The old Pallet Town.
Oh, it is here,
there's something called the Emerald City, though.
I think that's Seattle.
Viridian City?
Viridian City.
Anyway,
city names.
Yeah, I love how we're so kind of like caught up and we're so conditioned to be excited about new boxes that we're like, we've kind of forgotten about the PSVR, which is happening this year.
Yeah.
I sadly have stopped thinking about it a lot.
Like, is that just me? Have we just kind of...
No, it's just... I mean, I'm kind of excited to see what they'll announce to go alongside. Like, they've already announced a lot of other stuff. Like, they have a pretty hefty lineup, and I want to know what else, I guess. Like, because nothing's really caught my eye to the point where I'm like, well, I just need the PSVR.
Yeah.
I played Resident Evil 7, the demo in VR and PSVR at E3, and it was really cool, but I do get motion sick pretty easily, and I don't get motion sick with the Vive, which is my favorite way to do VR, and I've reviewed a couple, like, Oculus games. And I have to take frequent breaks, so it's not a super high priority for me. It's one of those things that I'd rather play, like, at the office, because we have that luxury here, but it's not, like, something I'm going to drop a bunch of money on, so I haven't been too in tune with it, because I'm like, I don't want to feel nauseous all day.
Well, my other two hobbies besides gaming are headaches and vomiting, so I'm excited that they've all come together.
I haven't had an issue with PSVR except for rigs. That's the only thing that made me motion sick, and I get motion sickness really bad. Like, I was playing Minecraft on Oculus last week.
Stop, like, every 10 minutes.
Yeah, because I was getting really hot, and it's like, it's definitely not warm here. It was just, like, so intense with motion sickness that I had to stop and have water. It was really, really bad.
That's really weird.
The PSVR hasn't done that to me. But how was that demo, like, outside of motion sickness? Is it terrifying in VR?
I mean, I didn't get like too sick, so it was really awesome. It was I jumped at the very end because everybody saw the demo, like, not in VR, on stage during E3, and the very end I knocked the headset off of my face, and the PR lady laughed at me and gave me a lollipop.
Aww.
That's really
it was very nice. But it also, the Capcom booth was super cool because it was like
an
actual haunted house. So that whole effect made it super scary, but I know that's not exactly what Resident Evil 7 is going to be like. The demo is just a taste of kind of the spirit of it. And people did a bunch of stuff where they were, like, experimenting with all of the secrets, like secret keys and stuff, and I didn't have a chance to do any of that. So it was kind of cool reflecting on that and hearing, like, oh, people, if you take the key out of the drawer, you can use it in the past or whatever.
Yeah, there's supposed to be, like, different endings, like, in that one demo, but they tried to do, like, a PT thing, but it's not half as good.
It's like a dumb PT.
Yeah. It's like a frat boy PT.
It was more, like, the novelty of getting scared.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
But, yeah. It was interesting.
Yeah, I'd love to try it in VR.
Let's see. PlayStation Plus is getting a $10 price increase, and we have to talk about that.
Because some people are angry
about it. Here are my notes, and people are going to get mad about this. First bullet point, that's nothing. And then the second bullet point is, no, seriously, all privilege aside, if you can't scrounge together 10 extra bucks for a year for online play / free monthly games, this hobby might be too expensive for you. Third bullet point, online gaming costs money. Sony let PS3 users do it for a while Xbox Live charged for use friggin' Netflix for ages. Fourth bullet point, they added free games to sweeten the deal, and sometimes they're good ones. And then the last one is, God, I hate talking about swear word like this.
Meow.
Yeah.
I specifically chose to play 360 over PS3 last generation, and that was because I didn't want to install games. And you had to unpeel. That was it. It was like, I don't want to have to wait to install a thing. And I was happy with that decision. Then I had to pay for Xbox Live, and I was, like, angry about PS3 getting that for free. And it's like, this doesn't seem fair at all. But that was, you know, something I didn't realize at the start because I wasn't playing online games. And then back then, the difference between, like, when I started getting into PS3, the difference between the Xbox Live community and the PlayStation community and the PlayStation Network, it was obvious why you had to pay for it. Like, the fact that you could use parties way before you could do that on PSN. You know, there was so many features that they managed to add in that made it worth that money. And I feel the exact same way about, like, a $10 price increase. Like, I'm sure that increase is going to make the service better, and I'm happy to pay for that, especially with the crap that everyone deals with playing online.
You get so many free games. It's just kind of hard to say.
Yeah. mm-hmm. and good free games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, they're bad.
They are sometimes bad. Yeah. Didn't they have Spelunky recently? Or was that Xbox?
That awful, awful basketball game. I just don't like basketball. I don't know. I'm sure it's a perfectly fine basketball
game. Basketball
game. Awful basketball game.
I'm taking this off. I just got hair in my mouth from a fake.
Well, I thought you looked
very
nice.
It was me the whole time.
What? Oh, we were so fooled.
It is I, Max Scoville, human man.
Have they actually told us what the increase is going towards or no?
I think it's just inflation. It's probably more people are using it. I mean, they've added features as this is going on. Like, it used to be used to use cloud saves, which I use all the time for mm-hmm. going between work and home. Mm-hmm. You had like a really limited amount. I'd have to go in and like delete stuff. And now it's like they just added data there. They just were like, here, more free. Go for it.
I remember when I got an Xbox One before a PS4, and I got so used to not having to save so quickly because the Xbox One would automatically do it. Mm-hmm. And then I was playing Grim Fandango on PS4. And you have to manually save in that game. And it was no cloud saves. I had to replay the first chapter like four times because I kept forgetting to save it. It was so bad. But I mean, it's a great game, so it's fine.
I understand like $10 being like you budget for certain things and stuff. But if you already bought the PS4 and you're playing multiple games online to justify the cost, then an extra $10 doesn't seem.
Also, it's like, that's $10 for a yearly membership. It's the price is the same for monthly.
Yeah, like if it were $10 a month extra or something, then
that's
then,
a lot.
Yeah.
Then let's talk. But it's not.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's move on. Titanfall 2 got its early access thing. Have you guys got a chance to screw around with that?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
She beat Sean a bunch.
What?
Yeah, Miranda's good.
Nice.
Yeah, I was playing. So. We got a little bit earlier access than when the beta went live, and so I ended up getting in a game with one of the guys here, and then I was doing better.
Nice.
Just like, step it up.
We just like heard him from across the office like, wait, Miranda's in my game, and then Sam was like, who's winning? He's like, she is.
Yeah. I was griefing John Ryan, like I noticed he was in my game, and I was just like, huh. And I just nuked his Titan like last minute into the round. And then like, it was like in, you know, the lobby or whatever, and I go over to him, and I'm just like, GG, and he's like, huh? And I was like, that was me. And he's
like, but I've barely seen any gameplay. Like, what are your guys' thoughts on it?
So there were three modes. There's like a pilot versus pilot, essentially a bounty hunt mode where you kind of have to keep getting money and depositing that money, and then that went through the game. And then the third one's like a domination style thing. It's called Amped Hardpoint.
I think that's from the holdover from the first one.
Yeah, Hardpoint.
That was always my favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, the bounty one is such a cool concept, but I feel like it's not quite there yet.
I think that was my favorite of the three, though.
Yeah. Brian talked a bit on this show about how Bloodborne kind of scratches this like almost like gambling mentality for him, where like, you know, you get a bunch of, is it souls? Is it souls in that game? Are they blood balls or whatever you collect? I don't play the friggin' games. I don't know.
I have not played that game. It's like vials? Isn't it vials?
Yeah, vials.
Vials. Okay.
I didn't even play it.
Souls and vials.
Estus flask. Whatever.
Sure there is a flask.
The things. You know, you go and you get your things from those awful wet horses or whatever you fight in that game. And then you can keep...
Well, there's the maggoty corpses.
Right.
Yeah. They all do look wet.
Anyway, you go out and you collect your things and you get a bunch of them saved up, and you could keep going, or you could go trade them in, and it's like this kind of like, oh, do I keep winning or do I risk it all and then I just die? And like, I feel like the bounty hunt mode in Titanfall really kind of hits that. Basically, like, you know, if you haven't played it, you go out and you you know, you kill these grunts, and there's two kind of you know, PvP teams competing for that.
Yeah, and then there's multiple NPCs on the ground, just like random enemies. I think they're enemies for both sides, so you just go and compete over them and try to take them out, and then you earn money. But if someone kills you, you lose half your money. And
yeah.
Then the
Pokemon
person,
model.
Yes. Mm. So if you lose the fight.
What sucks though is that you have to wait
You
have to wait for the banks to open, and then you gotta go find this ATM, and they're like these super little yellow spider things, and you go up and you're like, I'm gonna deposit my money, and then of course you get like fragged right when you go up there.
Yeah.
I think
it's
if they
fun,
were
though. I like love it. That because you get to pick people
what
up.
What sucks
and take
though
their
is
money.
That the banks don't open until a wave is finished.
Yes.
Which I kinda wish that they would just like maybe have the location of the bank change.
I think that would be good.
Is it one
addition,
bank? For
no, there are two banks. So there's two banks on each side of the map, and I think it would be cool if they also disappear, but I guess having them in one set location gives you a little bit more tactics for it.
Yeah.
So like, if you do plan up a big setup, like saying, hey, we're going to stock this bank, and then whenever the other team shows up, we're going to take them out and then take all their money and deposit it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the banks kind of... you're always earning money as you kill things and like destroy enemy titans and stuff, but that extra money you have can like really help you like change the pace of the game. Mm-hmm. Just wildly.
Man,
crazy.
If you think about this, it just doesn't make any sense.
I know. It's
like,
just
why are you banking stuff in this game with these giant robots?
It's like five game modes stacked on top of each other, and then the fact that halfway through the match, everyone just gets robots. You're like, what am I doing?
Just complete nonsense. So also, again, last time we spoke about this, people get really mad when we call them robots. We're aware that they are mechs, technically.
They're robots.
It's more fun to call them robots.
You could call them robots or robos.
Yeah, whatever
Mark
you want.
Mark calls them robos.
Robos. Robo boys. What are the new Titans like?
There's big old Dunker McTankass, the pyro.
Dunker McTankass?
Scorch is a big... I don't like that one so much. It's kind of like...
I like that one more than the other.
Really? So it does this like kind of area effect thing where you throw out this like wall of fire, which seems cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. It's really cool.
So, yes. Yeah, the other one is called Ion, and it plays like the standard class of Titan from Titanfall 1 more. And it has like these traps you can lay down, it has a shield, and then it has like this little laser it can shoot out. And then it's each of the Titans have like a core ability, so that one is like shooting a giant laser from his chest and just like directed for a short time. And it kind of felt like Scorch was almost a counter to Ion, because felt so much better against Ion, because Ion's a little bit weaker.
Yeah.
Because
on account of his huge ass. The robot's got a big butt.
Really?
Yeah, but no.
Sorry, it's gluteal actuator.
It was good, though. Like, I think both of them played pretty well, and there's supposed to be six total.
Balance issues?
Yeah.
Not too bad. Whenever I played the first time at E3, there was, like, very big balance issues. Like, anytime I chose Ion over someone who had Scorch, I would get obliterated.
Yeah.
But this time it felt a little bit better. Like,
that's good.
A little bit better. Ion's a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just, like, I always said that the first Titanfall, when I played of it, felt like they put kind of almost like a Russian nesting doll Call of Duty game going on, because it's like you've got this larger scale game that happens with Titans, and then you've got regular kind of run around, shoot stuff. Yeah. And then in this case, they're just adding more mechanics to it. Like, the fact that, is the battery thing new? Stealing batteries?
Yes.
Okay, so that's one thing I love is that, first of all, just shooting a grappling hook at a big robot and
that's new too.
Messing with
I
it
love
from
the
back.
Hook.
That's really, really fun. That's
like
why
do you feel
I
like Spider-Man?
No, I feel cooler than Spider-Man.
What?
Yeah.
Cooler than Spider-Man?
Yeah. Actually cooler than Spider-Man.
What?
I don't know. Like, I feel like if Bionic Commando was still respectable in 2016.
Spider-Man's not that cool.
Yeah. He's all right.
I was going to say that. I didn't know if I was going to offend anybody, but...
He's kind of a nerd.
It's really... Like a cutie. The bar is not that high, so...
That's true. Yeah. He's a big old dweeb.
He's a big dweeb.
Yeah.
But, like, dweebs aren't bad. It's just... There's different measurements.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys excited about that Spider-Man game?
We're talking about Titanfall.
Yeah,
but
what about Spider-Man?
You steal the batteries. You can steal the batteries out of the back of the bad robots, and you can go to your friend's robots and shove batteries back in them.
So is that like health?
It's health and a shield. So if you take away an enemy Titan's battery, you take off their shield, and so then you can like obliterate them faster.
So do they spawn on the map at all, or does each Titan only have one? So if you take its battery, it can't get one back unless it steals it?
You can kill the person who took the battery and it drops on the field. So if a Titan gets destroyed, that battery is still there. So sometimes you'll see some on the field.
One thing I don't like is that I remember in the first one, you could just tear open the back of a Titan and just start shooting it in the head.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do that, or if you can, it's like a perk in this one.
That was super fun.
I feel like there's a lot of features they're going to be adding in here.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, I think it said like pre-alpha on the bottom.
So yeah,
it's like
I think that was called like Titan Rodeo when you would jump on them.
Still called the Rodeo. It's just they don't have that option. And now it's just yanking out the battery and you can shoot it, I guess.
But I like that better as mechanic.
I don't really want to like overhype this, but just based on this as an alpha or as an early tech thing or whatever the hell they're calling it, it's... In the fact that there's going to be single player and the fact that there's going to be four more robots in the game, I'm pretty excited about that. And I think it's going to be like a pretty big contender. Also, the fact that it's coming to everything as opposed to just one system.
Yeah, you know, the first time that I played the first Titanfall, I remember being like, this game is amazing. And then it came out and I was like, I'm bored.
I loved it so much. Yeah, but it fell off so quick. It's like, here's the same map. Here's the same thing. But this one seems to offer a lot more.
The single players.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that. You're your little Titan buddy. He'll take care of you. He'll catch you.
Just want to be like Baymax.
He's going to be...
If I had to say
Wally.
Anything...
Chappy.
No, don't talk to me about Chappy.
I love Chappy.
I think the only downside of that beta was the pilot versus pilot, at least for me, because you don't get Titans.
That's...
Why?
Just
why?
Just like, if I were going to play this without Titans and having like the NPCs running around, then I don't... or like the neutral enemies. I don't really want to play.
Did they at least
like,
have,
I'd rather play something else that
yeah.
excels in that.
Did they at least have maps that were really catered to the wall running and
all of them
stuff
were.
Like
I mean,
that?
There's
okay.
two maps. Yeah. There's a lot. There's one that was a little bit better for like wall running and stuff, like in the little city.
Yeah, the Boomtown one is really good for the yeah. just kind of the on the ground stuff. I liked it because it was a lot tighter, and then Tiderfall. But no, like the big the what is it, Homestead or whatever?
Yeah, it's more open. Like there's mm-hmm. a big field in the
that
middle.
One got kind of tedious. But then I figured out this trick where you can basically, if you aim for a really high object with your grappling hook and just like jet boost yourself up, you can pretty much just fling yourself halfway across the map.
That's
and
awesome.
It's just one of my biggest pet peeves, and one of the things that made me really love Titanfall initially is like I'm not a big multiplayer shooter guy, but I love that it doesn't punish you with a timeout. Mm-hmm. Like I've kind of said that it's sort of like this. It's just kind of the Oprah of shooters where everyone gets the Titan, everyone gets a big robot, whereas you play like other games where they're like, oh, you want to get a robot? Oh, you got to be good at the game. You got to get like a kill streak
or
whatever.
It's actually a little bit harder this time because Titans yeah. are based on your kills and stuff
right.
and by your activity in the game as opposed to a time-based thing as it was last
yeah.
game.
Which does piss me off,
but
we all get grappling
hooks. Different
for
different players? I feel like I remember it being different. If you had like a certain perk, it could be faster. The cards?
I don't quite remember. Maybe,
I feel
yeah.
like
I
some
you
people...
Could get, yeah, you could get
yeah.
unlock your Titan faster, but this
yeah.
one, like, you do have to earn it.
There's some garbage.
I feel
like,
about
I
that.
I don't,
so
it's no,
like a kill streak.
Now it's like the Maury Povich of shooters.
But, like, on Hardpoint, if you capture a base, that helps you get your Titan faster, and, like, if it's, since it's amped, like, you can hang around longer, and you get double points if the thing gets amped. It takes, like, a minute to charge.
Mm. Okay.
And then you get points from that, too. So it's, like, there yeah. are multiple ways to earn points. Mm-hmm. To get your Titan, so it's not just killing. It's just you don't have to be like the best.
Just seems like it's a way of punishing people who aren't as good by making everyone else even better. Like you know, if they're not
yeah.
good enough to get a lot of kills, and then people spawn Titans, and they just get killed even more. Like that seems
that's what
unfair.
Happens in Call of Duty a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
is you just get a kill streak, and then you get a Cerberus, and you just knock everybody out.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
okay,
so
bye.
That's I don't
yeah.
really like that so much, but I think that they are going to be focusing on kind of balancing it. And that said, like even when I die, it's like it's just like that back into the
yeah.
game. I've always hated where they're like, and I know that this is also the kind of the improvement of servers and, you know,
yeah.
netcode and stuff, but like, I hate games where you're like, you die and you just gotta sit there. It feels like dodgeball in high
yeah.
school.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not
Overwatch
playing the game.
Where you gotta walk for 5 hours to get back to
yeah.
where
you're
supposed
to be. Yeah, that's kind
of
they give me rocket boots and a grappling hook, and if I'm good enough, I get a nice special treat, which is a robot. With a big donkin' ass. should we talk about, We haven't talked about it yet. We should totally talk about that Metal Gear Survive, I guess.
Oh, we yeah.
No, we spoke about it on Unlocked last week. I was like, I'm forgetting this.
Excuse me, that's a PlayStation franchise.
It is, you're right.
Yeah, so we got the trailer for this thing.
I feel like we should mention that the reason that the regular crew is not here is that some of the boys are in Europe, and
oh, yeah.
Marty is in a place that we probably can't say, working on fancy boy stuff.
Yeah. It's a place where everyone looks like him.
Eastern
Europe.
Poland.
So Metal Gear Survive, we got this shown off at GDC in a trailer. I guess we got some exclusive reveal of it.
Gamescom?
Gamescom.
What did I say?
The other
GDC.
The dodgy one, Gamescom.
Oh, God, it looks so bad.
Yeah, so it's the first post-Kojima Metal Gear.
And they're not even trying.
And it's
only a year after.
Why?
It doesn't feel like it's been a year.
Too soon.
It looks like Operation Raccoon City or Umbrella Corps. Like they're
yeah.
totally they there
yeah.
is nothing.
It looks a lot like Umbrella.
Nothing is sacred.
Yeah, it is Metal Gear in name only. And honestly, like I was willing to give this a chance if they were like, hey, we're remaking the original Metal Gear, but we're doing it with the Fox engine. I would have
mm-hmm.
been like, that's interesting. And they're like, we can't afford Kiefer Sutherland. I'd be like, okay, that's fine, you know.
Yeah.
And Kojima's not designing it. Okay. We'll live, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There are plenty of games that take the key designer person away and they turn out okay. And,
yeah.
I mean, Metal Gear Revengeance was a lot of fun. It wasn't really a Metal Gear game, but it was like, it understood that. And
yeah.
this is like, what is this? Who is this for? And no, I don't think anybody's
yeah.
happy about this.
It's like a Left 4 Dead mixed with Umbrella Corps. And, it's still loosely related to the Metal Gear universe and that weirder stuff has happened than what this looks like. But
it's
like they get transported to a different place and there's zombies.
It's related to the Metal Gear universe in that it is an alternate universe from the Metal Gear universe that has sucked not characters. They suck a bunch of random...
people we don't know.
A sad, abandoned man.
Yeah.
Yes, but one of them has a very cool
so
bow.
Sad.
Ah, yes, the bow and arrow, my favorite Metal Gear weapon.
It does look really cool, but I think we had the trailer exclusively, and
yeah.
when it first went up, the dislikes to likes ratio was just so many dislikes.
Yeah,
it was brutal. I don't
not
think anyone
worse than
wants
Infinite
this.
Warfare,
I think
though,
probably not.
It's also fair to like wait till there's gameplay and see like what happens with
definitely.
It. But even though it's not the heart of like
I think it could be a fascinating game just based on like the skill set you have in Phantom Pain, and if it even remotely uses some of that, it could be really interesting. And if it's still sort of open world-ish, survival stuff is fun, but like I don't know. Give me some. I like Snake.
Snake is in the trailer for like a second, I think.
He's leaving at the beginning. Yeah. He shows up at the beginning to leave as fast as he can.
I don't want anything to do with this either. See you later.
Also, like they're like, what are the last game in this series was like the most successful one, or like everyone really had a great time with that. Let's make a sequel to the one that came before that was a prequel to that one. Like it takes place after Ground Zeroes.
None of it really makes any sense.
This feels like that thankfully canceled TV show that was about Aunt May as a teenager. Like that Spider-Man spinoff where you're like, what? No,
wait,
I don't want
to. That's real?
That was almost real.
Oh.
And then
who went? Okay.
They found the gas leak at the Sony offices.
Quick tangent. Who goes into a boardroom and pitches that and is like, yeah, this is a good idea?
Peter Parker. And nobody else.
May.
Yeah. Peter Parker's like, this woman, real smart. I'm not related to her at all, but I would definitely love to watch a show about her.
Yeah.
And that's how that
Ends. The one thing people really love about Metal Gear is not the characters or the stories, but the fact that, anything can happen, including wormholes and crystal zombies. God, I'm not
being positive. Surely someone out there likes the trailer.
No, they totally do. And they're
not for anyone.
Yeah. It's very corporate. I was reading the comments earlier. It's funny because some people are just like, a lot of comparisons to the Infinite Warfare, which again, like Call of Duty is not a continuing series. That's like a brand, like, you know, Far Cry. It's like it's not like a universe yet. Metal Gear is,
we know.
There are ones that are connected, but
I wish they'd remade Metal Gear 2 Snake's Revenge, which was also not made by Kojima. It was this random American Konami spinoff for the NES where like you're just this stupid like muscle man running through the jungle and like punching dudes and you're like, what? This is not a good game.
I'd play it.
Yeah, but if they just put a robot at the end of it and they're like, yeah, it's a snake is back, sort of. And this like, I mean, just get some random like not any actor we know and just don't even try.
Dude's kid.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Something that's like so far gone that it comes back around because that's how Metal Gear works
like
in my
when
brain.
Like when they do like a direct-to-video sequel and you're just like, that's not the guy who was in the last one. Yeah. You're like, it's like Mean Girls 2 and the only person who's back is Tim Meadows. And you're like, what the who said this was a good idea? Also, who has weird photos of Tim Meadows to make him do such a thing? Anyway, Metal Gear Survive. Will it?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. But there is a ton of cool stuff coming out on PS4 this week, or just a ton of stuff, just in general.
Yeah.
We have Deus Ex Mankind Divided, which has an 85 on Metacritic, and we gave it a 9.2, I think Vince reviewed it.
Doesn't sound like Mankind's too divided about this one, am I right?
Good one, Max.
Don't encourage him.
Because the reviews are all very pretty positive.
That was good. I didn't realize that was what you talked. Damn it, shut up. Anyway.
You could say that men are being kind to this Deus Ex game.
I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but Vince basically said, aside from the smaller feeling plot, the game improves upon its predecessor in every way, which is a pretty huge deal. Because Human Revolution was already a very good game. He mentions really well-designed environments, loads of possibility, a wide variety of routes and character builds, and it's just supposed to be really, really challenging and rewarding. So we definitely have to check that out so we can talk about it some more.
Huh.
But I played it at a side event to E3 and actually wasn't very impressed by it, but it did feel like the tutorial segment that I was given was just...
Yeah.
I don't think demoing a tutorial is a great idea in an event, necessarily.
The tutorial's not what you want to see.
Yeah.
You want to skip it every time. Like, I don't care.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, you want to skip that. It doesn't give you a good idea of how well the mechanics work.
Yeah.
For example, like, the process of teaching you how to play the game is not going to give you a good idea
of
it works as a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to just poke around in this. Like, I mean, I really liked... I wanted to like Human Revolution a lot more than I did. The fact that it's a smaller feeling plot is really good, because I thought the plot of the last one was kind of like, I like to explore the environments and kind of just like piece together my own story from what's in there, you know. Yeah. Like I spent a lot of time in that game just pounded whiskey and eating energy bars in a vent. Just
it's really dumb.
It's
really
dumb. Refrigerators around. That I just love that, like, some guy goes into a police station and they're like, "Hey, get that scary looking man," and he just like scuttles into like a vent shaft and they're like, "What's he doing in there?" And he's just like, "Num, num, 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 num." And you're like, "Come back out here." And he's just like, "No, I don't want to. I don't feel like it." Yeah.
Inside is also coming to PS4. Mm-hmm. Inside is incredible.
So weird.
Yeah.
We gave that one a 10.
We did. That was Ryan's first ever 10, I think.
Yeah, I have not played it yet, so don't say anything. I mean, I guess we wouldn't want to spoil it for everybody listening.
Yes.
But I will be playing it tonight. It's a game on PS4, because it's out on PS4 now. That's the point.
Yeah, I think it took me about 5 hours to finish, but I did spend a lot of time looking for collectibles and stuff.
Did you find all this
stuff? I didn't. I missed two.
Yeah, I kind of figured out when I had missed one or two, like I got indicators that I was just like, I probably missed something. I just gave up at that point. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
I tried to get most of them, but I don't think I would have found there's a secret ending. I don't think I would have found it anyway. Yeah, because
if you need help with those, you can check out IGN's wiki.
You do have a wiki guide. But Inside is just perplexing and awesome and creepy and beautiful sound design. So, it's a really great game.
The animation in that game is really what got me. Like, it's just like, dang.
dang. Yeah, it's a very,
like,
very good game.
How you jump.
Cool.
That's good.
Right. It's one of that. Maybe 3 tens we've given out this year?
Yeah.
I think it's The Witness. There was something else.
Oh, Undertale, technically,
Undertale.
That's last year, though.
Yeah. And I'm sure we've probably given one more than that, but it's a pretty small roster, and I think Inside totally deserves it.
I think there were three. I think it was Undertale, which counts as 2015.
Which is weird, because IGN only gives Call of Duty tens. It's so strange.
We've
totally never
so
done
biased.
That.
Never actually done that, yeah.
No. and then, guys, King of Fighters 14 is coming out.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
That's a fighting game.
Oh,
okay. Kings. We could have gathered that one, but
about kings?
Why
King fighters?
Should we care about it?
It has over 50 characters.
Whoa!
Or 50 characters. I'm not
that's
sure which.
A lot of characters, Max.
So I did. This is fun. I did the VO for Vince's review earlier today, but there was no score on it, so I don't know what the score he gave it. But he seemed pretty positive. Which honestly, that's like kind of a great way to read a review, because I'm like, I don't know what it's. I don't know what the score is.
It's really positive.
Nice when you just read the review and figure out what the person's trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds like something
only
for people
not score stuff.
who really want to just get their hands dirty with like an extremely technical fighter. I guess you kind of pick teams and you. Basically, it sounds like a game that I don't know how they balanced it. Maybe they should have done 20 characters.
Dota has over 100 characters.
I could see that coming from a mile
away. Damn it, Miranda.
I was like, she's going to bring up Dota
right now.
Yeah, but, you know.
It's not, like, completely balanced, but, you know. Anyway.
Welcome to DotaCost Beyond.
I have to do it.
It's her thing.
F-ing
it was
Dota.
Happening.
Metrico Plus is coming to PS4 and later to, I think, PC and Mac and Xbox One or whatever. This was a Vita game, which is really cool because it's like you're like a little man who runs along on spreadsheets and stuff. Really gorgeous.
It looks very cute.
I think Colin reviewed it and gave it like a 6 or something, which isn't great, but they've gone back and tweaked some stuff. And I don't know. It's worth checking out. It's like a fun little indie platformer.
Mm-hmm. It's not great, but it is okay on the IGN review scale.
That is
it
what
is okay.
What is great? Is great 7 or 8?
8.
8.
Yeah.
You're right.
Great,
it's not an 8.
Great, seven is great is 8.
Seven, 9 is fine, and 10 is
men.
Yes.
Eight's pick a
mate.
A men out of men.
Eight's pick a mate.
All right. Guys, I got great news. Madden 17 is out.
So excited.
We finally get to find out what happened to that man who's scared to go on planes. John Madden, have they found him yet? After the last one concluded, we were all very confused about his whereabouts. The thrilling campaign continues, and the Madden universe continues to grow with great new characters being introduced, such as the New England Patriot. I don't know anything about
football.
You made
football. It a Metal Gear game.
So we did review
the
this
balls
one.
Of the Patriots.
We did review this one positively as well on IGN, a freelancer, because a bunch of us San Francisco nerds don't know nothing about no football.
Nope.
We don't actually let down the rope ladder for the freelancer who reviews sports games. We're scared he'll take our lunch money up in the office.
Don't hurt us. No.
Put your review in the basket and we'll edit it up here.
I'll have you know I actually know how the game of football is played, but I do not know how the game of Madden is
played. I
went
to almost every college football game.
That's
cool.
Played Powder Puff Football.
What is that?
It's this thing that's kind of
not great, actually, in high schools where they let girls play football for a game and they call it powder puff football.
They let girls play football.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like, girls, well, you can play football, but it's called powder puff. And there you go. But I did play it. I was defensive lineman.
I did a different thing. It was called gay baseball. No, not really.
What?
Oh. That's just like that's so like
it's
just
backwards.
Like, hey, you're not good at the real thing. Here's a fun little name to throw on it.
Yeah, but the point is, no one's gonna take my lunch money.
That's true. She was a Lions backman.
A linebackman.
Oh, that was close. I don't know anything about
Let's
Madden
talk about
at
rugby
all,
now.
Being that it's an American sport, which, for the record, we are planning to do a Let's Play of this at some point, where I'm going to fake commentate.
I'm so excited about that.
Me too. I'm going to pretend that I know what's going on in American football, which, by the way, in Australia we call gridiron.
Gridiron?
Yes.
Oh, so weird.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, kind of does, yeah.
That sounds great, gridiron.
Gridiron. The biggest comment everyone has seeing American football is like, why are they wearing so much padding? Because all of our versions of football are just like men in tights, basically.
Oh. I mean, it's very fancy. Ours are kind of spandex.
Ours are men in tights, but with padding under the tights.
It's because supervillains frequently attack our stadiums. Haven't you seen The Dark Knight Rises?
That's a good point.
They come in and they blow up the ground.
They do.
And fall into holes.
That's true.
Anyway, the fire rises. Alana, you played Valley. What is this game?
When does this episode go up?
Tomorrow.
Okay, cool. Embargo is tomorrow at 12 a.m., so I can talk about it.
Yeah.
Valley is the lowest review score that I've ever given. I gave it a 5. It's not great. It's basically you get to run really fast, and that's very fun. It's like a first-person platformer where you run really fast and you build up momentum when you're running down a hill, and then, you know, there'll be like a jump at the bottom of the hill, and it'll just launch you like super far into the sky.
So I saw you playing this.
Yes.
And the jumps are super ridiculous, and it feels really floaty, or it looked really floaty to me.
It is, but those parts are very fun, regardless, because it's so fast.
So that's the high point, because I was bored out of my mind watching
that. That's the high point.
Okay.
And they just space
Nothing
it apart
that's your fault.
By
I
making
so
you walk around. It's very not good. I really think that there are going to be some people out there who like it and get really mad about my review score, but...
There's always somebody.
Yeah, but there's just so many things
How
in it that don't
this?
Add up. 4 years. She's seen how mad they were when I gave Destiny a 4.
I had a Sims fan say that I should be fired because I didn't do a good enough interview about Sims DLC.
What?
Was it the
I think it was one of the Sims.
That was really good.
It was like, Sim. Come
on! I wasn't even reviewing it. I was just like, oh, so what's new with The Sims? A game that I have not played since 10th grade. They were like, I mean, what do you want there? I don't know. People, there's some hardcore Sims fan out there.
Sims 4, and I thought it was... Okay.
I like The Sims a lot.
So I like The Sims a lot.
I like The Sims 2 a lot.
Yeah.
Sims, my favorite Sims.
Sims 3 is pretty cool.
Sims
4 is not as good as Sims 3.
I think it's better now because they added... Anyway.
Anyway, this
PC.
As an adult homeowner, I don't play The Sims anymore. I just I launched model rockets in my own living room on piles of rugs and face the consequences.
Yeah. Back to Valley. So the one cool thing that it does is like spaced out between these boring facilities that you walk through. Nothing is challenging because resources are everywhere. Everything that you fight, there's like 2, maybe kind of 4 different enemy types. Like 2 in that they're just like one's purple and one's green, but it's the exact same thing. The same applies to the other 2. So there's 4, but they all attack you in the same way. You attack them in the same way. It's just like avoid floaty attacks, shoot back floaty attacks. Crappy sound design. Everything uses the same energy resource for shooting and also for like double jumping and a couple of other different things. But because there's just energy everywhere, it also takes your health away. Like your energy bar is also your health. So if you get hit by something, it takes away the same resource. But it's just so easy to find that it's like, why make me manage it? I'm never going to lose any of it. Mm. One thing that is pretty cool is this life and death thing. Basically, if you die... which really only happens if you fall into water accidentally because you thought that something was a rock, but it's actually water, which immediately kills you for whatever reason. Because it's your suit's very heavy, so you drown, apparently.
I've been in another dimension. I'm so sorry you had to play this game.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
Listening to this, it sounds
it's
so
really,
boring.
It's really not great. But when you die, you like take life from the valley to be respawned, which is like it kind of deals with the ethics of that in a fairly interesting way.
So do you like when you're reborn, like a bird dies somewhere, or
trees die and you can see them die, but then you just put life back in them with the same energy that you used for everything else by, like, punching them with this energy orb. And then, I mean, it's kind of pretty, but it just ultimately doesn't mean anything because it's so easy.
You know, really, it's this, the same...
If you kill the trees, you can't respawn. So if the valley dies, it just puts you to the back at the start of a level.
So is it a deforestation, like, statement?
I think it's a statement about the nature of the universe and that the same energy that powers trees also powers guns.
And still
that we should not die in water.
Conservation of mass?
I want to say there is enough to the story and the lore that if I were to talk about it, I would spoil something that is kind of interesting.
Oh.
But the way that the story is told is through the audio logs of these two characters who have been dead for forever. So nothing they say matters. Like, they're not there anymore. There's no one in the valley but you. Why does anything that you do mean anything when you have nobody to protect because you're the only person there?
Why are you there?
I'm sorry
you
I had to review this game.
Thing that you find.
I'm like sad. Okay.
How long is it?
It's around 4 hours, but in my head I was like, this game is like 8 hours long.
Yeah.
And then I saw the time, was like, oh, it's 4.5. Oh, yeah. Never mind.
That's honestly, like, that's the worst kind of game to review.
It's not,
just,
you know, I didn't give it bad. I gave it a 5, which is mediocre. Like, it's not bad. Mediocre. It's just... the stuff that it does well is just too far between really boring stuff. And it's a shame. Because it was, like, good concepts, and it's made by the people who made Slender. Which is strange.
Okay.
It's also very pretty.
All right. Except for the UI, which I will say is assy.
And, and the sound design.
IGN.com.
I wouldn't really recommend it to anyone.
There's, like, an icon that looks... like a butthole.
I didn't mean that. I meant it's just.
But there is.
Is there?
Oh,
okay.
There is.
Well, then I'm in more ways than one.
Yeah, and that thing is also rubbish.
UI design. I can't talk.
What are really dumb things about that game?
Okay. Also coming out this week is Worms WMD.
I've played that.
Is that any good?
I was bored.
It's Worms. Worms is fun if you get a bunch of stupid friends together and you just.
I'm just happy I could contribute.
Mess each other up.
I played it.
Yeah, I love the Worms games, and I've always done like the thing where I'll. I think I like bought what, like I bought the 3D versions of the games that are like really bad ones like numerous times. Like that's not a 3D game. You're supposed to play that 2D. This is thankfully a 2D version.
Mm-hmm.
Curious if it's any good compared to previous games, but like I don't know, stuff like Armageddon and World Party is really fun.
I just don't like how they look. It makes me want to punch them.
Well, that's the idea. You're supposed to.
It's kind of the idea.
Just kill each other.
Yeah.
Alone with you
sounds like a dating sim.
I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm always down for dating sims.
I don't know what this one's about. I don't know.
Definitely
anything.
A dating sim.
Absolute Drift Zen Edition. I'm kind of curious about this one. It's about cars.
Spiritual cause.
Yeah. I feel like if it's like a new age Tokyo Drift game, that'd be kind of cool.
Looked it up. Alone with You is a romantic adventure game.
Called it.
Ooh. By the way of Star Trek, according to the book.
I have no idea what romantic adventure games
Star
are about.
Star Trek? Sci-fi romance.
Oh, it is
adventure.
A romance.
All right. Do you believe that love can bloom in space?
Do you believe?
All right. Armacrog is coming out on PS4. That's this kind of stop-motion claymation game that's from the guys who did Earthworm Jim and I think the Neverhood. It's been out on PC for a while. It looks really cool, but also like it's kind of wonky. I think it's sitting around like a 6 or something on Metacritic or whatever. So it's like people are...
I love the word wonky.
Yeah, it's definitely like a wonky look. I think it's one of those games like
good
to approach this and be like, I hope this claymation game appeals to my like hardcore Twitch gaming mentality. It's claymation. Give it a shot. I don't know if you like that kind of gross stuff.
Aww.
Big City Stories is a game about building a big city.
No, I believe that's the Sex in the City dating sim.
Oh yeah, but it's told from Big's perspective. I like that.
Oh,
the man
God.
Version. Yeah.
And it kind of...
That was a deep cut for this kind of podcast anyway.
It shakes up the... Yeah.
Big!
We can totally talk about Sex and the City for a while. I'm totally down for that.
I've never seen it. I want
it's
this game...
It's
so
Ninja Turtles for women.
Ideally, I want to like run Carrie's like blog. I want to have something to do with Carrie's blog.
Like Papers, Please, but for blogs.
Yeah, or I would just want to play the game as Samantha because
oh hell yeah,
no games allow you to be the kind of sex having kind of person she is.
That would be
that's
wine.
True. Hey,
Deus,
do you guys want to play a
Deus
game?
Sex Woman Revolution,
yeah.
where we decide that which Sex and the City characters the other people from Beyond would be.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Brian.
I'm so sorry, everybody who's rolling their eyes at this.
I think it's excellent.
I think it's great.
I'm not sorry
too.
At all.
Big City Stories is a city builder, though.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, that seems a lot more likely.
In case you weren't clear on that, but like, I think our version's better. So.
Yeah.
So Marty's definitely Samantha. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
I would kind of think he's Carrie.
Is he?
Yeah.
It's tricky.
Goldfarb is Charlotte.
Oh, easily.
Definitely.
Oh, God. Absolutely.
Like, there's that episode where Charlotte goes to a shoe store and there's like a foot fetishist who keeps giving her free shoes. And she's like, I don't feel right about this. But if she goes back and gets more shoes, I feel like that's such a Goldfarb
thing in the world.
Being like, yeah. And then that lady just touched my feet a bunch. I don't know what to do. But they're really nice shoes. They're really comfy.
Persona themed. Like,
yeah. This is great.
The Andrew Goldfarb story.
Yeah.
Love you, Andrew.
Oh, little Andy Goldie.
Miss you. Yeah.
The next one is called Doodle Devils.
Doodle Devils.
Anyway, okay, that could be
also a hell dating sim.
No.
Wait, I want to play a hell
it
dating
could be
sim.
Like Doodle Devils, like maybe you're in a classroom, but it's in hell, and they're doodling notes to each other, and it's romantic.
So, like a visual novel about high schoolers
in
hell.
Yeah, but then you have to draw. For them to draw the
I think it'd be dating in hell would be kind of fun.
It just makes me think of South Park.
Yeah.
There's a South Park episode about
there's
what is it? Is it Osama who dates the devil?
Satan
Saddam
dates
Hussein.
Saddam
it is
Hussein,
Saddam Hussein, you're right.
But then Satan also
God,
dates
that.
The like
Satan's like a really sensitive
like
boyfriend.
Satan's a wonderful boyfriend, and he was dating this guy, like his name was like Chad or something, and he's like
Chad.
It's not Chad, but something okay. like Chad, and he's a nutritionist. But then he's like, my passion for Saddam is out of control.
God, I need to go back and watch more South Park.
Such a good show.
We had an email actually from a listener named Matthew Fieldhouse, whose name I remember because it rhymes with Field Mouse. And he wrote in to say that he'd never seen any South Park, which blew my mind. But he was asking, should he watch South Park if he wanted to get into the South Park games? I would say yes.
Yeah,
you don't need to, but it'll make them a lot better because there's references.
Introduction to what South Park is before.
Yeah.
You also watch them anyway because they're great.
I think you need to know the humor you're getting into and if you like that kind of humor. Like, I would suggest maybe trying the Imagination Land trilogy and seeing if... Because that covers a lot of different... A big spectrum
different
of
characters.
South Park.
And
it's three episodes. If you get through that and you're like, this is great, because, like, the first one has this thing with the Christmas characters and it's real
bad. Oh, yeah,
bad.
The Christmas critters.
I would
suggest kind of starting with something smaller first. If you go to, like, I think this... If you just search South Park online, there's, like, a South Park site on, like... Comedy Central or Hulu or something that just
they have a lot of the episodes.
I think they've got like 30 most popular episodes that are just up for streaming, and a bunch of them actually incorporate characters that are in the superheroes that are in the new game.
Yeah.
So if you want to kind of familiarize yourself with that whole arc, I actually don't know a whole lot of, like the Coon and the superhero
the
league. I feel so bad just saying that, but whatever.
It's really bad. Those are more recent.
The one that everyone loves is Scott Tenorman Must Die. That one's a kind of a classic. I really like the Awesome-O one. Which is
oh,
really
yeah,
fun.
It's pretty good.
Awesome
yeah.
is good.
So can I say a swear if it's in a title?
Yeah.
Which one is it?
If it's technically a quote, we're allowed to swear.
Okay. My favorite episode is Butter's Bottom, bitch.
Oh, that's not
that
a swear.
That is a really good episode.
Actually, my favorite episode is Raisins. But
Raisins
I also
is really good.
Oh.
Really
welcome
love
to Raisins.
Welcome to Raisins.
One South Park episode.
What
when
the?
I was a child.
Which one?
What?
It
scared me.
What?
Which
what?
One?
There's one when they're on a bus going up a snowy mountain. And the bus gets stranded, and the bus driver's like, don't go outside, or else you're going to get eaten. Like, there's a monster outside. And one kid goes outside, and there's, like, really... I was, like, super little. And there's this creepy black monster came out and ate the kid and spat his bones and blood back up on the bus.
Oh, it was Kenny, wasn't it?
Was it Kenny?
It was almost definitely Kenny.
Yeah, Kenny died.
I actually don't think it was.
Okay.
Maybe it was, but...
It's probably Kenny.
And then I was scared, and I never watched it again.
You should probably give it a shot.
It's so
great. There's a two-part story arc where
also, kids should not watch it.
Yeah.
Do not show your children.
I had a TV in my room. It was really late. And I was like, I'm going to watch this anyway, Mom. It was a bad idea.
Well, you showed up by
of
getting
all the
terrified.
Things that can happen when you watch South Park too young, getting scared is sort of a weird result to have,
yeah,
you
right?
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what they're going for.
No, what did I expect?
I think the first episode I ever saw was The Ladder to Heaven, I think. Where they,
oh, yeah.
Where they mix
they build
Kenny's
it?
Ashes, and he thinks it's chocolate milk mix, and then Cartman gets Kenny's memories.
Yeah. I watched the premiere
Like, it was when it was that old.
Wow.
Like,
it's also the first episode?
It's been on for 19
it's
years.
It's so strange.
Is that the one with Cartman's mom?
I watched the Christmas special, the Mr. Hanky one, which is like the first.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that was the first one that aired or what. I know that there's the Cartman gets an anal probe. That's the very first episode that's on.
That is the first episode. Yeah. That is weird.
Go watch some South Park. Yes. It's great. And I really need to play those games because I missed that show. I haven't watched it.
Really good.
We got an email from Kevin, who said, I started listening at episode 20, and I've been meaning to go back and finish those first 20 episodes. On episode 9 right now, so here's a follow-up on one of the big questions from that episode, pancakes versus waffles. I had to look this up. Mm. Podcast Beyond episode 9 was published almost exactly 9 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
On August 20th, 2007. So what were you guys doing 9 years ago? Who cares about pancakes or waffles?
I had just turned 14. I was about to start high school. And I'm pretty sure that summer I was playing DDR on my PS2 in my parents' room.
Wow.
Like the whole summer.
It's 9 years ago today, it would have been my birthday, but it's now not because I'm in the US. So it's my birthday tomorrow. In Australia, it's my birthday today.
If you take the time zone change along with the...
Yes.
It was a simple question.
It was my 14th birthday, which means that I would have been in grade 9. And I don't remember any of it, except I feel like being sad all the time.
Okay.
I didn't like when I started high school, because I just moved and I was really angry. So
spoilers, we're all the same age except math.
Yeah, I'm
yeah.
girl.
Yeah.
So I was probably in band camp.
Oh.
Being sunburned.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause,
have you seen American Pie, or was that too scary to you?
No. That's not scary. I ate a kid. I was a little kid.
That is pretty scary.
I was
She's
scared.
Right.
Yeah. In American Pie, that man puts his wiener in a pie,
yeah,
too, and
putting
burns
your pangas
himself.
In a pie
that's
isn't half
scary.
As scary.
It's just dumb.
It's just real dumb.
Putting the pangas in the pie.
Yeah, they're called
pie
pangas.
Teeth that summer? No,
wow.
Teeth
I definitely
really
watched Teeth that summer if it was out. That
I
movie.
Was, no, I think it was maybe the next summer. I think it was out the next summer.
Something. Sure, give or take a year.
God,
that movie.
I kind of want to address this. I saw this post on Tumblr today where someone was like, it's crazy how much your teenage life or the grades you get in high school affect the rest of your life. For any of our teenage listeners, that is not true.
No.
Wait,
do not pressure yourself.
You
no.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Because my grades have not helped me at all since I left school.
It helped me get through school faster. I graduated like college year early. So.
Well,
that's pretty cool.
So, yeah. I mean, I guess depending on how you're planning your high school career into college depends on how much they matter.
Yeah, my high school
didn't help
AP
me at all.
Credits got me, I think, a year's worth of credits
yeah.
in college.
I almost had a minor.
Okay, I don't even know what any of that means, so evidently it's different in Australia, but it did literally nothing for me. So when I was 14, I was probably like really worried about studying and worried about all of these social situations with people I don't talk to anymore, and it's like you just just chill through high school.
No,
please,
no.
Just
so to loop this back to South Park, the movie Bowling for Columbine. You guys seen that?
Mm-mm.
It's a documentary about school shootings in America, and it's really interesting. But there's a bit in there where they talk to the South Park guys, and they're like, maybe those guys, you know, there's a lot of those guys who shot up Columbine were pretty messed up, but they're maybe if some people hadn't just told them that high school was the be all end all, and they were like, maybe. It goes up. It gets better after that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they were like, and there is this mentality where they're like, if you don't get good grades in high school, you don't get into a good college, you don't get into a good college, you don't succeed in real life. And like, it's not true, you know?
I don't think
yeah.
it's true.
You should still apply yourself, but don't, you know, it's not really the end of the world, so.
Like, I think grades matter, but the point still stands that, like, I worried so much in high school that I, like, got super depressed and it was really
yeah.
bad.
And that's common, right?
Yeah.
And it's like people put so much pressure on you to, like, decide what to do when you leave high school as well. It's like, I'm 16.
I
don't know what I want to do.
I was also, like, have fun. Like, it's high school. Like, you have breaks. You have free time. Like, just...
Oh, God. If you're in high school and you're not just mired in extracurriculars, please, please just enjoy your spare time because...
We don't get that anymore.
Oh, it's... Yeah.
I spent so much time worrying about getting into college that I had no time to explore my interests. Like, I didn't play, like, there's a lot of, I have a huge 4-year gap of games that I'm still catching up on because I didn't play a single video game and I was so unhappy. And then I got to college and I was like, wait, I really love video games and I've forgotten myself. And, like, it was just a really bad, like, spend your time doing things you love.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
I mean, study, but, like, hey, what, I was up until, like, 3 a.m. studying every night. It was
what
awful.
Time did you guys, like, get out of school? Like, what time was school out for you?
3 p.m.
3. Mm.
3?
Unless I had band camp, and then I got out at 6, and then I went straight to karate.
Okay.
So we got it done around
so
4,
eclectic.
But if I had band, sometimes it...
Okay, about, so like, without all the extra break. Toppings there, just kind of 4. Vanilla school. 4? Really? 4?
I think it was 3 for me.
Okay.
Mine was 3.
Well, that said, like... When you get a job, like a 9 to 5,
thinking about that
you're
now.
Like leaving at 3, that's like
also,
you have to be
two
like
two lunch breaks? I got two lunch breaks yeah. during I don't get
wait,
lunch
what?
Breaks here anymore at all. I never have lunch breaks. We had two. One of them was 20 minutes and then the
oh,
second one was
had,
an hour.
Yeah, we had break, like snack break
don't
and lunch break.
Don't, we don't you don't have bells that ring. Also, like that's the most scared. Do you
oh,
have
bell? Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I get
yeah,
home
yeah. We did school.
I get home now at like 7:30 or 8.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, if I got home after 4, I'd have a panic attack. Because I'd be like, I don't have enough time to do my homework now.
It's crazy.
And now I'm like, it's 8. I guess I have time to eat dinner and shower.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to go to sleep probably.
Anyway, we're all old. Also, I had a dumb story about what I was doing. In summer of 2007, I had like a crappy on-campus job at my community college. And mm-hmm. I checked my bank account one day and it was like, oh, I'm like, I got some money to throw around. I got like... almost $1,000 in here. That's amazing. So I went on eBay and I bought a PSP and I got like it came with a bunch of games and the guy like had like a super huge memory stick in there that he didn't know about. And I was like, yes, I got a deal. This is awesome. And then I checked my, what'd I do? I think I like tried to buy something. I tried to buy like a soda and it was like declined. And I was like, that's odd. I should probably check my balance again. I checked it. It was like negative like 400. The bank had deposited somebody else's check into my account. And I was just like, hey, cool. I'm doing okay with money. I should buy a PSP.
Oh, no.
So I had a PSP for like, I think like a week maybe. And I got it and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I like, you know, I've played a bunch of like Vice City Stories and I was like really stoked on it. And I, you know, just downloaded porn just on principle so I could be like, you know, on the bus with
check
somebody
out
be like,
porn.
Check this out. It's porn. And they're like, cool. I've seen that before too. And then like, and then I was like, oh man, I really need to pay rent to my mom. So I like, my buddy who was working as like a cabana boy at like this like resort would just get like, he'd get off work and he'd have like $400 cash and he'd be like, eh. And I was like, he's like, I'll buy that PSP off you. And I was like, really? And he just like bought it and then never did anything with it. But he was just helping me out. He's like,
aww.
So it's kind of sweet. But yeah, man.
Aside from the PSP part, I feel like a lot of the stories you tell me about your high school self could have taken place in the 80s. I don't know what it is, but I picture
we had 56K internet.
I picture your like... high school life as an 80s movie, probably
yeah.
because of who you are.
Small town.
When did you graduate?
2005. Yeah. The year that Sin City came out in theaters.
Whoa.
I don't know why I went there.
Cool.
All right. So we do a segment every week called Rapid Fire, which is where we ask real fast questions real quick, and then we answer them. These ones are from our YouTube channel, which you should go check out. Earlier in this episode, I was wearing a wig like an idiot. So go to youtube.com/IGNBeyond and, you know, comment on stuff and ask some dumb questions on there. And, you know, sometimes we answer them.
Mm-hmm.
Nice lady named Jedi Kush wrote in and said, what is your favorite game character?
Okay,
of all
I just
time?
Want to mention that regarding this person's name, they also asked if we did weed. I just chose not to include that question. Jedi Kush. favorite game character of all time.
And the 420th. The 420th Amendment.
I think I'm going to say Agent Francis York Morgan from Deadly Premonition. It's my favorite game character.
All right. It's okay. Pikachu.
No, that's Miranda's mind.
How dare you?
I really...
can't steal that. No,
I really like how mean Kazooie is in Banjo-Kazooie.
Kazooie's pretty great.
I admire that a lot about her. I also really like a specific character from Danganronpa, but it's a spoiler if I say who.
Oh.
Is it a nasty bear?
It's not the nasty bear.
Okay.
Was a nasty bear in that game?
She's like a nasty bear and a nasty bird.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes.
Yeah. That's chill.
Oh, mine's Pikachu, so.
That's fair.
Easy.
What's your favorite Pikachu costume?
I like Dittochu, which is actually not Pikachu.
It's a
costume of Pikachu.
It's Ditto pretending to be Pikachu with Ditto's face.
Yeah.
My favorite Pikachu costume is the shiny Gyarados Pikachu I have.
Me too.
That really is a Hiroshima exclusive, and I ordered it for double price from Japan.
All right.
It's very cute.
I really want I want a Garbodor Pikachu. I want one who's just like in a pile of trash.
That'd
he's
be
like,
really
he's
cool. Like, I would buy like
he's
five.
He's just eating a pile of cigarette butts. And he's like, Pika, I have tetanus.
There's an episode where he like almost dies choking on an apple. So
yeah. What a terrible show. my favorite game character is probably Solid Snake.
Yeah, we thought you might say that.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's tough because everyone likes Big Boss, and I really like I like later Big Boss, but like I like Solid Snake the best.
I'm totally going to think of a better answer.
Because he eats an entire pack of cigarettes. I like characters who eat cigarettes. I like Pikachu, Garbodor Pikachu, if he's eating cigarettes. I like Solid Snake because he eats a pack of cigarettes, and he puts them in his stomach, and then he craps them out.
I really feel like Kazooie would eat cigarettes also.
Oh, totally. You can get a bird to eat anything.
Yeah. The next question is one that I included just because I wanted to address it. Clintimus asked, is it just me, but is the left speaker louder than the right? Yeah, sometimes we have audio issues.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Beyond?
Yeah.
No, we have that on Anime Club.
Everybody's gone last week, so, I mean, people still are gone, so.
Yeah, we do our best.
I like how you checked your watch.
I don't know why
still gone.
What week is it? Oh, yeah. I have tracking on everyone in here. Piyush Athawale? I am not saying that, right? Why weren't you guys picked to go to Gamescom? I bet Greg Miller has a hand in this.
It's definitely because of Greg Miller.
I don't think Greg went to Gamescom, did he? I think he was in Chicago.
No, he was in Austin.
Launching a new studio.
So I don't actually know how people get chosen to go to events. I think we kind of rotate them, right?
Yeah, it depends on what's going to be shown at an event and what people's skill sets are. I mean, I often don't go to events because I have to promote them. So I'm on every event as far as like content promotion goes, but I never get to attend them. So that's like, if you want to know why I wasn't picked, that's why. I just was home based.
Yeah. And I think they try and, you know, traveling for work is a lot more tiring than it seems. People look at it like it's glamorous, but you get really worn out really fast. And I think it's, they try and rotate it so it's not the same people traveling too close together and they swap years. So it's like, we just kind of try to look after people's health. Yeah. And also, you know, the stuff they like.
Gamescom last year took a lot out of me because it's just going that direction. Jet lag always hits me a lot harder. And I showed up a day later than everyone else because of plane tickets or whatever. And I was like incredibly stressed out going into that because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I'd never been to Europe. I was traveling alone internationally for the first time. So it was just like, and I was like, oh, I'm in Germany for the first time ever. And I have to get to a different train station. And that was, I don't know. It was like, I managed. I did okay. But it was just also like, it was a lot kind of to go into it.
It's a really hard show.
Yeah.
It is.
It's just big.
There's a lot of people there.
The Colon Mesa is one of the biggest structures I've been inside of. But yeah, and then this year Fran sort of asked, like, do I want to go? And I was like, I mean, I'm never going to, like, poo-poo a trip to Europe for work, but it's also like, you know, it took a lot out of me last year. And he's like, okay, cool. And then Zach and Brian and Andrew decided that they're going to go to Amsterdam for a week afterwards.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we can blur things out, but... they're having a good time, and I'm happy for them. But
this is the first month since I started working at IGN that I haven't gotten on a plane.
You travel a lot.
Yeah, it's every 2 weeks, and it sucks. So this month I haven't been anywhere. I'm going to PAX West the first weekend of September, but it's like I'm so happy to don't have to leave.
Yeah, PAX West. I'm not going to be at that because it's Labor Day, and I'm like super excited to just like have a barbecue and chill out. You know?
Yeah, I respect that.
Yeah,
but we do have a Beyond panel, which is going to have Marty, myself, Andrew, and Greg, and one other very special guest. If you guys want to check that out, it
is...
A
live moth. It's going to fly
in.
Yeah,
it's just a moth. No, actually, I'm very excited about the guest that we have. So check out the schedule, and you'll find out when that is. I think it's Saturday at 11, but we will be there.
Yeah.
I just realized another reason I couldn't go to Gamescom is because Pokemon World Championships was this weekend, I had to be there for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was at Dota.
Oh, yeah. You were at the Dota.
Cool. She was living the Dota life.
Daniel Stravato asks, how tall is Max? We can't wait just for you. I'm like 6'5", 6'6", something like that. I don't know. It's like,
that's real tall.
Yeah, it's pretty tall.
I'm 5'10".
How tall are you?
Like 5'5".
Miranda?
I'm like 5'3". I'm like 5'2". I'm sorry.
I think Marty's like 6'2". Andrew would be like 5'5".
That's why they call him Lil Goldie.
Lil Baby Goldie.
Brian's
so small.
How tall Brian is?
Ish.
He's whatever.
He's like
6 feet.
6 feet, yeah, probably. Yeah.
But I just like, I hang out with him all the time, so he just like, I think he just slouches because he doesn't care anymore.
he's just giving up.
Greg Tice says, "Do you guys play board games, Max and Brian? If you aren't playing board games, you know about X-Wing Armada, and Imperial Assault. I know about them, and I like cool spaceships and stuff. I just don't like board games that much.
Oh, really? Why is that?
I love tabletop games.
I kind of want to mention that I paraphrased this question. This guy did write a lot, so I'm sorry, Greg, that I cut out some of that. I just tried to make it a little bit shorter.
That's what we should call the show. Just sorry, Greg. I've had bad experiences trying to figure out rules, you know, or just playing with like dumb bunches of people. I really honestly, I think it's just a few bad experiences, like a game of Risk that goes on way too long.
Yeah, or like Monopoly when you want to punch your friends.
Well, fun fact, Monopoly was never intended to be fun. The person who made it was trying to make a statement on monopolies and corporate America at the time.
That's
when it was made.
Kind of ironic.
Yeah, so that game is never intended to be fun. It was supposed to be.
What I love is I love it when all my favorite franchises apply their licensing to the most popular board game from the Great Depression.
Yeah.
I like Star Wars Monopoly. I like Uncharted Monopoly.
Yeah, there are a lot of those.
There's a My Little Pony Monopoly.
Oh, God.
Of course there
is. I do have Star Wars Risk, and I really like it because you can execute Order 66 if you're playing as the Sith. That's pretty cool.
Huh. It's metal.
And I've been really into code names lately. It's where it's a word association game where you have like teams and there's a code giver and they're basically assigned different words and they're trying to come up with a one word clue to tie the words together. Hmm. So, for example, I had to get my team to guess rabbit and whale, so I said white.
Interesting.
That's cool.
See, it's really nerdy.
I like games like that, like Taboo and Scattergories and stuff like that. I kick ass at those. But I, as far as like, you know, the whole kind of Settlers of Catan Renaissance. If I'm gonna dork out with like something like that, I'd so much rather play like D&D or just
King's
Cup.
Yeah, I played that once. I really didn't like it, mostly because that has like the worst art.
I wasn't super big on Munchkin.
I played Cthulhu Munchkin with a bunch of friends of mine.
Oh yeah, I think I had there was like an expansion pack for it.
I'm more down to play board games than card games, just because I like little toys, little pieces.
Remember that time we played King's Cup and it was like 4 a.m.
That was a great
idea. I had to go to Vegas on a flight.
Whoops!
Remember that.
Yeah, I don't really remember
we
that.
We kept Alana up on accident.
Yeah, probably. Aww. Well, anyway,
the board game I played the most of was the Firefly board game, which was something that we actually like played several weeks in a row, and just kind of towards the end got exhausted because it was so long. It was hard to like manage everything, but it was really fun. Like I think board games are great. You just have to commit to them.
Yeah. I used to play the Game of Life a lot.
Oh yeah.
Sure, do you like that one?
Yeah.
See, that's a game I want to play again, because that gets real weird.
I also really like playing... There's a PC version that I loved playing when I was a kid. It's really dumb.
I think I remember that.
Man, I was so into Chutes and Ladders. Like, Chutes and Ladders is a game about morality.
Mm.
And then you find out, you know, that kid did a bad thing, and now you have to get on the, like, 40 spaces chute. And that's how I learned to be a good child.
I haven't played that in such a long time.
I think FromSoft should adapt Candyland. I think that should be the next Souls game is Candy Souls.
Oh, gosh.
Candy Souls.
Just get Candy Pummy Pummy up there. The music and stuff.
That's so real
terrifying.
Yeah. Also, before we wrap this up, somebody sent us a thing.
We got a parcel in the mail. If you would like to send us things, you can address them to Podcast Beyond, care of IGN, which is 625 2nd Street, 4th floor, San Francisco, California, 94107. I don't know how I remember that. I don't even know where
that's
I live.
Amazing.
Sometimes I remember the zip code. I'm just like, wow, my memory is amazing.
Yeah. I always forget the zip code. This just says it's from Amazon, so I have no idea.
Yeah, it's a mysterious parcel. It has arrived. Oh, there's a little card this time. Oh, and it's gift wrapped. How sweet.
Aww.
What a sweet treat.
I'm just
Hi, Max,
guess, so
Marty, Alana, and most likely Brian. Wrong.
No, sorry. You get us instead.
I hear you're after one of them ghosts, so I went and caught one. I'm not sure what I was expecting. I'm not sure what you'll get. Some use out of it. All the best from the UK. Your ghost hunter, Chris. We asked for a ghost last time, and here's a ghost apparently. Let's see. Go, ghost.
Somebody sent us a ghost.
Is it going to be a ghost? Someone to send you a ghost?
Yes.
Did we ask for a ghost?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, we did. I wonder what this could be. It is... Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, ghost!
It is the movie Ghost on DVD. This is hilarious. So I had my wonderful darling fiance, who you guys all know pretty well. She's very smart. She's a dentist. She's got a degree in biochemistry. But sometimes she says some really stupid stuff. Like, we're just sitting there the other day, and she's like, "Hey, how come Demi Moore had sex with that ghost?" And I was like, "Because they were in love." And she's like, Oh! Like, before he died and became a ghost. Like, they had a pre-existing relationship. She didn't just... She's not Kesha. She didn't just have sex with a ghost.
Oh, that's incredible.
Also, if you guys want to have a fun time, go on the internet and search celebrities who've had romantic encounters with ghosts, because there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah, Kesha is pretty high up on that list.
Yep.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it's weird.
Patrick Stewart has quite a reputation for getting it on with the ghosts.
Oh.
That's not true.
Damn.
Thank you guys for listening. You can find us all on Twitter. I'm Max Scoville. Alana is Charlanazard. Callie, you're...
Inky Dojiko. Inky-Dojikko. I do that every time.
Nice.
And Miranda?
I'm Havoc Rose, and that's Havoc with a K.
Havoc with a K.
Yeah.
And of course, be sure to check out that YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/IGNBeyond. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, Max and Monty did a Let's Play of Titanfall.
Yeah, it was fun. That's it was cool. Good time. Yeah, we had margaritas. I mean, no, we didn't.
Other Titan thing.
Yeah.
I'm reviewing Attack on Titan that will be on PS4 very soon.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. And check out Anime Club if you like anime.
Yeah,
or,
anime.
Or hearing Callie and talking about stuff because they're cool people.
And speaking of PlayStation stuff, Miranda and I got to check out an actual in-the-flesh Vita game.
We played a PS Vita game.
What?
It was great.
So the Vita is alive and well, so head over to Anime Club.
A new Vita game?
You can hear about it on episode 60. Anime Club, we talk about Yomori, an upcoming Vita game for your Vita that you can play in this, the year of our Lord 2016.
Also Psycho Pass.
and the Psycho Pass Vision.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
I'm going to go watch Ghost on DVD.
We should have all the regular crew back next week.
Yep.
They all get back on Friday, so we will see you then.
Yeah.
And thank you guys so much for joining
us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Greets.
Farewell.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.